You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 409. We're doing our Boston College preview. Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going good.
Are you more optimistic about Notre Dame football heading into this matchup than you were after the Georgia loss?
Oh, definitely. I think this is kind of going to calm everybody down. I think this is going to be a big win for Notre Dame. And big, I mean, a lopsided score for Notre Dame. Everybody will calm down a little bit, and things will get, I don't know if you could say back to normal, but they'll look good again.
We're going to go over the press conference that Brian Kelly had on Tuesday, and there were some player interviews as well. And then we'll get more into talking about Boston College and kind of the challenge that they bring to Notre Dame. So we'll go through the different position groups, and then if there was comments or changes from the depth chart, we'll, from the press conference, we'll hit on that as well. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Let's start with the quarterback.
And I'll just mention right away, Brian Kelly did kind of apologize for his outburst in the post game when he was asked about, you know, how does this different from last year's team and not doing quite enough to win the game. And he just basically said, you know, I think he said he didn't handle it very good, but he's
with answering that question.
Yes.
After the game. Yeah.
He's looking at right now. He's not worried about last. He's not looking at last year. He's focused at who this team is and what they're doing right now.
And I think one reason he was so frustrated is because I do believe that he believes that he's doing the right things to get Notre Dame into the playoff and to win every single game. And they were so close. I mean, it was 1 point, which that is also one possession, but it was just yeah. 1 point.
Yeah. And it wouldn't have taken much to, you know, to win that game. I mean, and I think just they're all tired. Everybody's tired of talking about it. And it is different for us as fans. Like, oh, it's another season. But if you're living in that probably seems like a lifetime ago. If you're around the football team every day, I mean.
Yeah.
If I asked you what you did a year ago, what computer you were working on a year ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't remember.
But. Yeah, he did mention that, and
And talking about Brandon Wimbush, Brian Kelly was asked, what are some things that Brandon could have done better in that game to change the outcome, and Brian Kelly said there's a handful. I think he said there's probably 15 different things, but they're small things. They're not big things. Things like. On that third and short, when he tried to get her on the edge instead of diving forward for the first down, even Brandon Wimbush, when he was asked, I think it was in a post game press conference, he mentioned, you know, that's one of the plays he would have liked to have had back, and it's stuff that he knows. It's just stuff that he just didn't do the right thing on.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty confident with more experience that he's going to be fine. He's a good quality quarterback, a really good quality quarterback for Notre Dame.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's helped him. I mean, now he's seen all of that, and he'll be that much better going into the next few games.
And let's talk about wide receivers. So one difference in the depth chart is that Freddie Canteen is no longer the starter. It is now Chris Fink. And Brian Kelly, he was asked if Freddie is injured, and he did say that he is.
Yes, he said he has a shoulder injury, so we'll go with that. I mean, Freddie hasn't produced. I think he has one catch for like 7 yards in the first two games. So, you know, at first we heard that he was just out. He was in the starting lineup, but then we did hear he was injured. But it wasn't that shocking to hear that he was in the starting lineup before we knew there was even a shoulder injury.
Yeah. Well, someone needs to emerge as the number two weapon at wide receiver, and I think it can be Chris Fink. He's often talked about in the fall and the spring camps as a guy who's elusive and just catches the football, has the best hands on the team. I'm pretty sure I've heard that, although he did have a drop on Saturday.
And his backup is Chase Claypool, who is actually backing up EQ.
But so, but they've said, though, Dell Alexander and Chip Long have said, and even the wide receivers have said, that they know the different positions, that they can line up pretty much anywhere.
True. But maybe this will give Chase Claypool a little more of a chance to get on the field. Because backing up EQ, there's not much chance getting on the field doing that. But if he, I think with him listed as the backup to Chris Finke, I think we'll see a lot more of him because Chris Finke, those two will rotate in and out. It does kind of make you wonder, you know, where CJ Sanders is at. But
we didn't see him last year either. I mean, we saw him in the first game or two. I mean, maybe the first half of the season, but he fizzled out throughout the season.
Yeah. Well, that was the only difference in depth on the offensive side of the ball.
And then running back. Okay, so Brian Kelly.
Well, one more thing with the wide receivers. Brian Kelly said they targeted EQ 20 times, which I'm pretty sure that meant like
the plays were designed.
Yeah. It wasn't like they threw at him 20 times.
They didn't throw the ball at him 20 times.
No, but the plays were designed 20 times. And he said they need to make a few adjustments. They got to have somebody else step up. They got to have more of a balanced attack. They couldn't get to him because everybody knew he was going to him, and they got to have more of a balance. Like the other receivers, tight ends got to step up, and even with the run game, it helps if you had the run game going.
Well, and Notre Dame had success against Georgia. When they completed a pass, it seemed like the next play they ran, especially if it was a run, would go for 4-plus yards. And if they didn't complete a pass or if they had a run of zero, it just seemed like it kept them from even converting, whether they were running or passing. So it definitely seemed like when they were able to have a positive play, it almost gave them momentum or got them into a rhythm to succeed on the next one.
Yeah, and he also mentioned, you know, that he's getting double teamed, and they got to.
Someone needs to emerge out of that wide receiver group.
But he did mention Tyler Eifert's name, which there he was the number one guy, and they were able to get him open, like spread it out enough, get a balanced attack so that they could still get stuff to him. And Michael Floyd. I mean, he said everybody knew you were going to throw the ball to Michael Floyd, and he made big plays.
Okay, but even with Michael Floyd, Golden Tate.
Well, somebody else stepped up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the big thing. Somebody's got to step up and be that threat. And I think Cameron Smith showed a little more last week.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to start. It's the first two games. You know, you didn't have to pass it the first week. Last week, you couldn't do anything on offense. You couldn't run, so you couldn't. I think it'll become a lot more clear. Well, the thing is, I think they'll be able to run quite a bit in this game, so maybe it won't be quite as clear. But
I know it's kind of. In one sense, I want them to run the ball and make that their identity. But on the other hand, I also want them to be balanced and find out who their receiving targets are so that when they're needed, they do have a little bit of experience.
This just came to me now, but wasn't it last year where they weren't sure about the wide receivers either, and they said it would play itself out at the start of last season? They would kind of figure it out.
I think we had, at the beginning of the year, Torrey Hunter looked like the main guy, but then EQ really stepped up, and he stepped up.
They didn't know that before. I mean, he stepped up.
He stepped up early, though,
yeah.
Even in Texas.
But before the season started, it was like, hey, this will all play out. We don't know exactly who. Yeah. So it's kind of the same scenario, but it's taking longer for somebody to step up.
And you had Stefferson then step up, too. I think
he's got to do a lot of stepping to get in on the field. But anyways.
Okay. Running backs. I'm not worried about Dexter Williams. I think it was just the coaches thought that Josh Adams gave them the best shot at converting downs and ultimately scoring points.
Well, Brian Kelly said that Dexter was part of the game plan. They just didn't get a chance to get him in there because of everything that Georgia was throwing at them with the pressures they were showing. I think they just felt like Josh knew more about what was coming at him, and that was their best bet.
And I would expect us to see Dexter earlier.
Brian Kelly said he told the offensive coaches that he has to get out on the field.
Okay. Because I think if he is a guy that is following the traits, which all indicators from Brian Kelly, all the indicators are that he is, then you got to reward him at some point.
Yeah,
and I'm not
exactly.
saying I'm not
even
saying,
from
I'm not saying
from last year.
Yeah, I'm not saying you need to reward him when it's a really tight ball game and you need to do everything you can to win the game. But when you get an opportunity to reward him, then give the guy
so
an opportunity.
Josh Adams move the ball 90 yards up the field, and then
let
last
Tommy Jones
run
it in.
Bring Dexter in to run in a 2-yard touchdown. I do think that I always get irritated. Well, you know, you want to have a fresh back at the goal line. They don't care about the credits, but it is you'd have to get frustrated as a running back moving the ball down the field and then have another guy come in and finish it out for you.
But if you were also receiving those touchdown numbers, then I'm sure as long as it balances out in the end, I doubt they care that much. And they seem like a pretty unselfish unit, the running backs do.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, running backs in general.
Okay, tight ends.
There's not a whole, I mean, we didn't see much from any of them last week. I'm not sure what. I'm not too worried about it. There's enough. It seemed like the whole offense had a bad week. And so I kind of expect all them to step up again. I think we'll see quite a bit of the tight ends being used this week. And Alize Mack will still have at least one drop just because his name is Mack. But I'm not too worried about it.
I agree with you. And then the offensive line.
I have to tell you.
Did you watch, or go ahead.
There was.
Was there some more internet muscle flexes?
Well, no, this was from. I just saw this on Twitter. A guy that writes for works for SEC Network. He's a sideline analyst. He made a comment, or he tweeted out, Twitter told me Saturday Georgia wore Notre Dame tackle Mike McClinchy out. And he said, Twitter lied. There's two poor pass sets, one at the worst time, otherwise solid game. I would say there was a lot more. There was more than that.
Well, I think he's just talking about McClinchy, though.
I know, but McClinchy had a horrible game. But I just thought it was interesting to see that from
their perspective.
From the other side. Yeah. That, you know, they didn't think it was that bad. Which is a good sign because we thought they played absolutely terrible. But, you know, the way other people look at it, it wasn't that bad compared to what other
compared
teams
to how
are.
They normally make offensive lines look.
So, yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Okay,
let's just say Harry Hiestand. We know he does a lot of yelling on the field. I guarantee you there was more than the yelling and choice words used this last week than there has been in a long time.
I would expect probably as well. Although McClinchy had his player interview earlier today.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see, I think it was Harry Hiestand because McClinchy was answering a question kind of about bouncing back and getting to work and worrying about Notre Dame and just giving kind of a pat answer. I mean, it was a good answer, but and then all of a sudden there's you hear this clapping, and then McClinchy kind of looks over and is like, "Oh, thanks, coach." And I don't know. I guess I don't know if it was Harry Hiestand or if it was one of the other coaches, but it sounded like it was Harry. But
they say all the right things.
I don't know where I was going with that, really.
McClinchy always says the right things, and he makes you feel like when you hear him talk and whatever, he makes you feel like he is a great player. Yeah. And he is, but really if you look at it, he has been as dominant as a lot of offensive linemen have been, but there's just something about him that you expect the most out of him.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the way he handles himself, the interviews. I mean, he's a leader. Just all that, and so you just expect him to be a flawless player out in the field.
He did say that the offense was really pissed off this week. And
they should be.
Drew Tranquil made the comment, you know, that he feels sorry. He's scared for other teams because they're going to come to punish them. Well, we'll get to see that soon enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess the one question we have still is on the right tackle spot. Do you think are we still going to see a rotation there? I mean, clearly,
what would you want? I mean,
Hainsey has been struggling more. I mean, as long as the game, if it's a Temple kind of game, then yeah, swap them out. But if it's a game where we need to do whatever possible to give us put us in the best position, then leave Kramer in there.
Yeah, it's hard.
I know Haynes is going to have to play next year, and I do want him to have experience, but he'll have he'll get his chances to get experience this year, yeah. And probably against Boston College.
I'm fine with rotating him if they are okay with benching the guy that's struggling.
During a given
it
game.
It seems, like it's been 50-50. But if one of the guys is struggling, Haynesy makes a mistake, then let Kramer play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think it does look like Haynesy's going to be next year? He'll probably be that right tackle, and Kramer might move inside. But he's making the false starts. They're both struggling. So it seems like Haynesy is the bad guy because he's the one that actually has the penalties. But Kramer's still getting knocked off his feet. I mean,
so is Haynesy.
I know, but I think it's a little closer than what it seems if you look at like the penalties.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I hope they're right. I hope the offense is pissed off, and I think this offensive line will show them who's boss this week.
All right, did we talk about everything from the offense?
Yeah.
All right, on defense, defensive line.
They talked about Jay Hayes a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there had been talk about him potentially moving inside, and he was asked, at what point did they decide to keep him outside? And Brian Kelly said they had cross-trained him. He had moved to the 3 technique, been cross-training. But the way that his training went and his recovery, I mean, just like his workouts and everything, his speed, they realized that he can, or he proved to them that he can do what he needs to at the defensive end position. And I would agree with that. I mean, from what we saw from him, he seems a lot faster. He just seems to, now after seeing what he's done, I'm totally fine with him out there.
And then it gives us good depth too at both defensive end positions with Trombetti playing both sides.
And it could still, depending on what offense you play, you could have him move inside. I mean, he did cross-train there, but I think he's doing a good job at defensive end. At this point, I don't see any reason to move him inside. But
Elijah, or go ahead. Were you done with Jay?
Well, he just said he was someone, they wanted a dominant player, and Jay Hayes was that guy.
So Elijah Taylor, unclear when he's coming back, but definitely not against Boston College.
No, and it's slow. His recovery is slower than expected, and so I think it'll still be a while. I mean, he hasn't really been cleared from the doctors to do much.
What about Mike Adu? I mean, he was cleared for Georgia, but he was
cleared last week, but
he didn't play.
Yeah, I would expect to start seeing him out there. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him this week. But yeah, I mean, I think this will be, we can get into it more when we talk BC, but.
Okay, then linebackers, was there any change there in the depth chart as far as Tavon and Coney?
No, I don't think it's still listed as
Coney
or Trombetti.
Martini. And I do kind of like the rotation they have there because Coney can play either the Mike or at the Buck, and so he's playing a lot. He's playing a lot of snaps, which I like to see because I think he is a great linebacker.
Well, and usually I don't like seeing the or on the depth chart because I like to know who the starters are because I think they need to play like that, but some of these guys like Coney and Martini, they have both stepped up their games and are playing dominant football. And so in this case, it's completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to have one guy starting. It's not like his confidence isn't there because he's not the starter. These guys have been doing good in their roles. And I think the whole defense, with all the rotation they have, is doing good. With linebacker, defensive line, Julian Okorah, they talked a little, Brian Kill was asked about that late hit. Obviously they thought it shouldn't have been called, but he said Okorah felt horrible, but Brian Kelly told him, it's not going to change the game, but you could kind of argue, if that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, but there's other, but yeah, you said that and you would tell your player that.
Yeah.
But there was so many other opportunities to make a play.
Yeah, that's why I tell him. But
I mean, I don't, like, sitting here, it never once crossed my mind to blame Okora for that because it was so close.
But Brian Kelly, man, they don't want hits like that just so that they don't have to put it on the officials to decide if that was a late hit or not. They tell the guys, don't even try to get into that situation, whether it's right or wrong. Just don't let the officials decide.
And again, I think if he wouldn't have pushed him out of bounds, if he just would have slowed down as much as he could and bumped into him but kind of held him up, I don't think they would have called it.
Yeah. I also think that if Georgia's quarterback wouldn't have been hurt, the starter wouldn't have been taken out of the game the week before on a late hit, it might have been different as well.
And ironically enough, that one wasn't called a late hit.
It wasn't.
I don't think it was. Don't hold me to it, but I'm pretty sure just in watching the replay, I thought the color commentary, I thought they said something about it not being, okay. It wasn't flagged. I could be wrong.
Well, he kind of got shoved. They might have said he got shoved before he was out. Yeah. It's kind of like when I saw that, it was kind of like the Jalen Smith hit against Ohio State. It was dead. The player thinks it's over with, and then all of a sudden he gets hit, and you're not ready. You're not bracing yourself for it, and it can cause a lot of pain. And it took Jalen Smith a while to recover from that.
Okay, cornerbacks. Nothing. I don't think there was really anything to discuss there. But then with safeties, Brian Kelly did talk about what they did to help Nick Coleman be getting back to being a confident football player.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to hear that because they do make a conscious effort. And playing with confidence is key, probably especially on defense, because you need to rely on what you've been taught and coached.
Yeah.
But they just kind of talked about how they started him off to try to build up his confidence. They put him, found something he could do well. And for him, it was something on special teams. And then slowly got him to do something more, which they ended up switching him to safety in the spring.
He said they brought him in dime packages.
Was that last season yet?
Yeah. And so he started on special teams, and they kind of put him on the dime packages. And, yeah, it was good to hear that because often you don't hear that part of it from the coaches. You think they're these, you know, either you get all the traits or you don't. But I think this helps a little bit to see that, you know, they got a plan. I think they have a plan with the other guys as well. Like Stepherson, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they gave up on him already. But but I'm saying they do have ways to do that. So, yeah, because he's made huge improvements. I mean, before the season, if you'd have, you know, when we thought about Nick Coleman, you didn't want to see him out in the field.
Yeah.
Bad tackles, just different things, and they did the right thing. He's been very dominant so far.
And then at the other safety spot, Studstill is now listed as a co-starter on the depth chart, and he has been playing very well. The first 2 weeks of the season has been playing well. I don't know. Do you know what their snap breakup had been?
No, I don't.
I know he played a lot.
Yeah. Brian Kelly mentioned that his growth and consistency in assignment is what he said. But he said the biggest difference is, he said he's better in tackling, but then the biggest difference is his communication. That's what got him to the position to be competing with Elliott. I mean, he called it a competition. He said that's what got him into the competition. So there you have another or situation now. But
which is funny because Studstill started last year. Yeah. Jalen Elliott came in. Did he come in the winter?
He was there last year.
I was saying Isaiah Robertson. Yeah.
Oh, Isaiah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they both played last year, and because they were forced to, they didn't have him, and they didn't have a lot of choices.
Okay, special teams.
There's not a whole lot to mention with that. They're fine with. I don't think we mentioned last night. What they punted 9 times last week. So, Tyler Newsome got a lot of work, and actually did good. Didn't have any shank punts. So, I think that's about it.
So let's talk more about Georgia then.
Oh.
I mean, not Georgia, but
Brian Kelly did mention right at the beginning, he said they shouldn't have watched Georgia versus Appalachian State film, so because it was completely different. But
let's talk a little bit about that, because he said when teams come to play Notre Dame, they just play so much harder. It's pretty much what he said.
Yeah.
And I know that fans, we kind of believe that. But if you've been coaching Notre Dame for 6 years, I think by now you would know that. I don't know. I thought it was kind of a dumb comment.
Yeah.
But let's move on then, like Brian Kelly, and talk about Boston College. Boston College, Notre Dame's, the game was moved to 3:30 Eastern time.
Which I'm glad for that.
Yeah, me too. It's a 13.5-point spread, which is more than I expected until we were talking a little bit, Randall, before the podcast. I would have been expecting something in single digits. I mean, close to 10, but single digits. And just giving you a rundown of the numbers here, points per game, Notre Dame's averaging 34, Boston College 16.5. Points allowed, Notre Dame is allowing 18, Boston College is allowing 27. And we'll just stop with that. The last five games for Boston College going into last year, their last two games of the regular season, they won over UConn 30-0. They beat Wake in their last regular season game 17-14, and then beat Maryland in a bowl game 36-30. So they ended the season pretty strong. To open up this season, they beat Northern Illinois University 23-20, and then last week they lost to Wake Forest 34-10.
Yeah, and I did do an interview with AJ Black from covers Boston College, and we'll have that up probably tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
I will tell you right away, right at the end, the last couple of minutes got a little, he was cutting out a little bit, but it's a good listen. Listen to the end. Even if you have to skip over a little bit right there, because he gives a good score. I like his score prediction. But it was a very good interview. And he said they're definitely frustrated with Steve Addazio. A lot of things that he actually said are kind of what Notre Dame fans are feeling about Notre Dame. They did change things after last year. It seemed like Boston College never has good offense.
Yeah, they don't.
And they decided to tweak some things last year, more up-tempo. And the first week against Northern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Northern Illinois State or was it Northern Illinois? Anyways.
Northern NIU.
Okay. They ran 92 plays that first week.
Hold it.
And everybody was excited. You know, everybody was pumped about this. So they looked a lot better and they won the game. And here's something. He said the last 2 years, Boston College basically been ranked like 120th on offense, total yards. And so they've been horrible. So everybody got excited about it. And then last week they played Wake Forest, and it was absolutely horrible. The starting quarterback got benched in the fourth quarter, which is a redshirt freshman. And now everybody is – it kind of came back to earth, came tumbling back to earth. And – now they don't know what to expect. So they played two quarterbacks last week, but they announced that Anthony Brown is going to be the starting quarterback this week, which he's a redshirt freshman. And he can get the ball downfield better than what the other quarterback can.
Looks like he also tends to get into the hands of the defense because he threw three picks last week.
They had four turnovers last week. So, and it was against the Wake Forest, which hopefully means that it was still a carryover from Mike Elko's defense there. But it was in terrible spots on the field, and they basically just handed it to Wake Forest. But as far as the offense, it's, like you said, they've got really good receivers, but it doesn't matter if the quarterback can't get it there, because the other thing that makes it worse is their offensive line is absolutely terrible. They lost their starting center, which was actually John Baker, was actually a Remington Award finalist. It was on the watch list for this year. And then he tore his ACL. Now, they've tried a couple other centers, and it has not been working. They've had two snaps go over the quarterback's head for a loss of like 30 yards on both of them. So I love hearing stuff like that, especially with what Notre Dame, they got last week, not so much, but getting pressure on the quarterback. I think they'll look very good. The defensive line will look very good in this game.
I expect our defense to do well just because
they're going to look good again.
Just because usually they don't do well, and I do think our defense is actually legitimately good, so they should look really good against Boston College. But what about Boston College's defense? Because usually their defense is pretty solid.
Well, the last thing on the offensive side, they have good running backs, receivers, tight, whatever. But if you can't get the ball to them, their offensive line doesn't play. It doesn't really matter. And we saw that last week. We know all about that. So that's where it's at. Then on the defensive side, he said, I expect to see a good defense. But he said that is not the case this year. They are not playing very good at all. Harold Landry is out their defensive end that everybody's talking about. I think he led the nation in sacks last year, and he was actually projected as a first-round pick, and then he decided to come back to Boston College, which I don't understand, but he said he had some unfinished business. But he did come back to Boston College, and he so far in two games against Wake Forest, Northern Illinois, he has no sacks. And he's been on the bench a lot. And he said they can't figure it out. You know, does he have a little bit of an injury? You know, there's these – Adazio keeps saying, you know, they want to limit his snap counts, you know. So, I don't know. My first idea was maybe this is the case like running back from LSU.
Fournette?
Leonard Fournette. You know, they were saying, oh, don't play last year. McCaffrey didn't play at the end. Maybe they're just trying to limit his snaps. Let him go to the NFL.
Except that he could have gone to the NFL, right? He was a junior.
So maybe his unfinished business was in the classroom. I don't know. But they do move him around from side to side. He stays the defensive end, but they move him on the strong side and the weak side. But so far, he hasn't done much this year. And he's been on the bench when it looked like they needed him out there.
That is weird because you would think...
I guess he's their Kevin Stefferson.
Maybe he's not showing all the right traits.
But from a senior, yeah. So I don't know. Definitely a guy to watch for. And the secondary, they said there's a lot of speed in the secondary. The most speed that they've had at Boston College. But, you know, there are guys to watch. And then some of the linebackers. But the defensive coordinator that they had and against Notre Dame, Don Brown was defensive coordinator at the out in Boston at the Fenway Park. Yeah, he went to Michigan, and so their defensive coordinator, what is his first name? But Reed, I believe his last name is from Iowa. He mentioned that he's starting to show that he's not the defensive coordinator they thought they was, and it's starting to show up. So they do not have the defense that they've had in past years.
I don't know. That's what we thought about Brian Van Gorder, but we decided to give him 2.5 years. So I think they should stick with it a few more years, see.
When's the next time we play them?
Good question.
But I guess that's kind of that's kind of an overall. Definitely listen to the interview tomorrow.
So even though they're in disarray and they seem like they have issues internally, I'm still a little concerned that they're not going to get up for this game because they have
Notre
the last
Dame?
No
oh Boston College
because
yeah.
they have the last few years.
I know that's the thing.
Are you ready to give your score prediction?
Yes.
You
want me to start?
I guess let me go first because I don't want your score prediction to sway me because I have a feeling we're not going to be close. And I'm still thinking it through. But I think Notre Dame's defense is going to look solid just because their offense isn't great. They're not great up front. They're not great at quarterback. However, for Notre Dame's offense, I do think this is a good test for them. I think they'll have more success than they did against Georgia because I don't think we'll face a front like that again. But the question will be, are we going to be able to are we going to be able to establish a running game, or is Brandon Wimbush going to have to throw the ball to put points on the board? I think that we'll probably be able to run the football, but I hope we still get something going in the passing game just to develop some experience there. And hopefully it's not just EQ, but hopefully it's guys like Fink or Claypool or Stefferson, if a miracle would happen. But so I think I'm going to go with my final game or final score prediction. Notre Dame, 37. Boston College. I think I'm going Boston College, 19.
Wow.
And if anything, I'm a little bit worried I might have Boston College too high at 19.
Well, maybe you'll like my score prediction a little bit better.
All right, go for it.
Well, I think Notre Dame is going to have success. The defense, like you said, is going to look great. They look good against a good Georgia team. And with this offense, the disarray that they're in, I think Mike Elko and his defense are going to force some turnovers again. And I'm not worried about that at all. And then the offensive side of the ball, you know, yes, they have Harold Landry, but he hasn't been doing much, and maybe this will be his breakout game. Maybe they were saving him for this game. Notre Dame has a tendency to make players look good. But Notre Dame, I think their bad game last week will actually help them in this game just to get the players. They know they got to do a good job, especially the offensive line. And I think they're going to look more like the Temple, like they did against Temple. And I'd like to see them throw, even if they have success running the ball, I'd like to see them throw just to get the figure out something with the receiver rotation. And I kind of have a feeling they might do that a little bit just to kind of get a feel.
And
for
hopefully
it.
It's more than just the opening play of the game where they're taking a shot down the field.
So are you predicting an opening shot down the field?
Yeah,
down the
because
field, the first
happened,
play of the game?
It's happened twice now.
But yeah, I think this is going to be a very dominating performance. I was actually going to predict a shutout.
You were? Hold
yes.
it. Well, go for
but,
it.
But I think that Landry, somehow they're going to get force a turnover, force a mistake that will give them good field position so that they can kick a field goal. So BC is going to score 3 points.
I do feel like my 19 points for Boston College is too high.
You never know.
Because what Boston College has done, I would be a little disappointed if Boston College scored 19, unless it was a situation where they got a score off of poor field position by Notre Dame or maybe a special teams return or something.
Yeah.
So and how many points for Notre Dame?
This is sounding a little more like how Kyle used to predict.
Are you going 50?
No, not 50. I'm not going that high. I'm going to say 45.
Hold it, Randall.
I think that is the most outrageous prediction I've had doing this podcast. But I feel that Notre Dame's going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder, and Boston College is not the same one we've seen the last couple of years. And it's finally time to break it wide open and get rid of that. Not let Boston College get close.
Well, we're both picking Notre Dame to cover the spread, which is 13.5 points. And don't forget to send out your score prediction after we tweet out on Saturday. And if you win, you'll win a free pound of coffee from Main Street Roasters. And if you like their coffee or just want to check it out, their website is designed quite nicely, and it's pretty easy to place orders and to purchase coffee and get it sent straight to your door. It's mainstreetroasters.com. Okay. We'll have the interview out tomorrow afternoon. Anything else, Randall?
I don't think so.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.